right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Feels like the middle of the night. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I am loving it.
It's great. This is one of our later recording times we've had in a bit.
Yeah,
it's
we can have breakfast for dinner like couples that don't love each other
anymore. Brenner.
It's 3 a.m. I just got back from the bar. Keith, it was awoken by John and I. We brought a bunch of people. We're partying with the baby. Woke the baby up.
Woke the baby.
So it's our weird late night podcast.
Late night breakfast podcast.
Fast break after dark.
That'll be hard for the listener to discern any differences. Perhaps it'll probably post at the time they all post.
Yeah. But
you would think we would have drank more beers and smoked more weeds, but in fact,
I have drank.
This is my first beer of the day.
Oh yeah.
People have been concerned about your, we've had some, we get a little bit of listener feedback. Not a ton.
A touch.
We get a touch. Year one, it was mainly worried about Chuck's health.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, concerned about John's drinking.
Yep.
They're not wrong. They're not wrong. We appreciate your concern, and just keep us in your thoughts.
I'm going to Shaboom Shabooms.
Oh, man, I can't wait for you to get gout. That's going to be great for the podcast.
Every time, I have a lot of arthritic problems, and I was 100% certain it was gout the first, three times it flared up.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, gout is a lot cooler than having, severe tendonitis and arthritis, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was thinking of scurvy. I was thinking of fruit.
Yeah, lime.
Yeah. Although, for gout, because I've done a lot of research into gout, how you cure it, the quick lime-esque scurvy cure, black cherry juice.
This is black cherry juice?
Which I don't think really exists. Where is that? Do you have to make that?
It's probably, I think Cheerwine works.
Sounds like I don't think Cheerwine works.
I think Cheerwine will just do you fine.
Black cherry juice sounds like a too short song.
Speaking of health, Chuck, you have a fancy bandage all over your finger.
Oh, yeah. Cut my finger today.
That's a bartender bandage. Just made it.
It looks like something... Putty. Looks like I've seen some Chopped episodes.
Yeah,
where they do the in the kitchen, they're all throwing things around. Was this food related?
Yeah, I was on my food truck today. I have a food truck in Nashville, Tennessee.
Food truck, Chuck.
Serving Taiwanese steam sliders called Bao Buns.
Do you have that Twitter handle, Food Truck Chuck?
No, it's my Twitter handle is The Mighty Chuck.
No, but I'm saying you should get that one as well.
I don't want to live too many lives.
I'm
on
claiming
the internet.
It.
Okay.
All right.
Fine. Yeah, I was on my food truck, Death From a Bun. You can find us at Real Dope Buns on the internet. And basically, I'm selling...
I feel like Death From a Bun was probably available.
No, it was not.
What in the Sam Hill?
No, Death From a Bun, that's a good name.
Some girl named Bunny.
Oh!
I know, made me angry.
Did you make an offer?
No, can you? How does
you
that work?
You make an offer you can't refuse?
Can you even do that?
Absolutely.
Well, that's how, Fast Break Fast is taken on Twitter.
No, I like...
We have Fast Break Break, but Fast Breakfast... Someone took it. They have one follower.
Yeah, I have. I think I'm good.
Fast break fast. I was just like, "What?"
Yeah, I threw you off. John just got very, very concerned that we lost our Twitter handle.
Yeah. So now that we've,
did you sell it, Keith?
Well, I would. I mean, price is right
to a girl named Bunny.
Did you use your crazy knife that is scary to cut your hand?
Actually, yeah, it was one of my switchblades.
Well, so speaking of knives, I have your scary assault knife, Chuck. It's in my shed.
No.
So true funny story. Me and the family, little Chase Buddy Bunger, who's growing up, being a big, he's now 18 months. It's now been 18 months since
rumbling and stumbling around.
18 months since Courtney Lee hit that 2/10 of a second left alley-oop to beat the Sacramento Kings.
Greatest shot ever.
Yep, which I watched from the hospital room. But anyway, playing in the backyard with my son, and I find a very large knife.
Open or close?
Like a very large open knife. like close to where me and my kids playing. And so I pick it up, and I'm out there with the wife, and I'm like, what is this? And so I'm thinking
welcome to the Chuck Anderson experience.
I'm like,
yeah, baby.
I'm like, this is probably the podcast fault because most of the terrible things that happen in our house are kind of related to John or Chuck.
Sorry.
Right.
And so then I was considering.
Happy Polylogic.
Well, I was trying to, I texted you guys to be like, is this either one of yours?
Mm-hmm.
And John's like, goodness no. And Chuck is like, oh yeah, I was looking for that.
Yeah.
So, I'm afraid of knives and needles.
Well, I was trying to figure out if it was better to tell... I was trying to decide if it was more comforting to Abby for that knives to be a random homeless person's who dropped it behind our house?
No.
Or to be the people who come over every week?
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out.
Sometimes like, there's no right answer.
What's more comforting? To be like, oh, a hobo like left this 5 feet from our back door, mm-hmm. you know? Or no, it was
fell out of
a
bindle.
In Chuck's defense, he rarely uses it.
In my little baby's defense, he brought me a kitchen knife the other day. Just like, here you go. I was like, oh.
That's some like pet cemetery. We need to talk about Gabe stuff.
Children of the corn.
Rename him Malachi now.
Hey, we need to talk about breakfast, though.
Oh, yeah. So did we have breakfast on this? Can you even remember back to how long ago breakfast was on this Monday?
It was 12 hours ago.
I just checked my computer to see what day it was.
It is. Don't forget.
That's called hashtag stay at home, dad.
Hell yeah.
Don't forget it's 3 a.m. We're all wasted. Hey,
sober.
No, I had this morning.
What'd you have?
A great meal. Cliff Bar.
Boo.
Yeah, baby. Checking my weight, making sure I'm staying thin and fit. It's Bonnaroo season, baby. I want to have my body looking right.
Well, you got a long way to go in 3 days.
Thanks. I'm really good.
I hope you're going to. Chuck is re-wearing his Hail the Goat Demon.
Bahamut? Bahamut?
Yeah. Wrong.
Is it not Bahamut?
I have two of these shirts.
Oh, you got two? So you are saving one for Bonnaroo, because I was saying you need to...
Don't wear black to Bonnaroo.
I feel like that's one of your...
You can wear black at night.
One of your
I usually wear three t-shirts a day at Bonnaroo.
Oh, yeah.
Take two showers.
That's pretty smart. Yeah. Take two showers at Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
No, you take one right before you go to bed so you can like calm down, and then right before night starts when you've been stinking and sweating all day.
I go to bed at Bonnaroo. It's not by choice.
Yeah, your body just gives up.
It goes, hey, you, shut the...
Night, night.
Yeah. Over for me.
Yeah. What'd you have for breakfast, John?
I'm a member of Ze Bleu Apron.
Oh, really?
And they sent a thing that seemed
I'm going to bleep that out, not a sponsor.
More like a, okay, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Chuck can get a free shout out from Death from a Bun.
But yeah.
That's why I mispronounced it or gave it a strange pronunciation. Yeah. They sent something that to me seemed more like a breakfast item. So, and I had to get up really early today, so I made myself some breakfast last night and then ate it this morning. It was kale with poached egg.
Okay.
And it was really good.
I love a poached egg. How do you poach the egg?
I did it in a...
ramekin?
Water.
Water?
No, I didn't do your style. I didn't sous vide it.
Oh, okay.
I want to do that, but I'm not talented enough. We had a sous vide machine, but I broke it.
Well...
I broke it the second time we used it. It cost like $130. I will never, ever tell my girlfriend that I broke it.
Yeah. They're easy to break. It's kind of a complicated piece of
equipment. It broke instantly.
Yeah. Real good ones are hard to find.
My breakfast was a ginger peach scone.
Ooh.
From Sam and Zoe's, the official coffee shop of
Fast Break Breakfast. Your blood sugar and you check it often, all right?
I really don't.
You're going to lose a foot, Keith. You might get gout.
So here's the thing. I've been told as long as I don't gain weight,
right.
Diabetes shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
I'm more worried about the...
it's mostly genetic, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah. But the whole eat a lot of sugar, get diabetes, it's more if you just eat sugar, gain weight. So I'm worried about maybe the teeth.
You sure about that, Math? You're told like you can get diabetes if you're skinny. Like you can eat your way to diabetes if you're the inside of your body.
Close friend and sometimes listener Matt Bell, maybe the most disgusting diabetic ever, and probably he's like 6'4" and weighs like 150 pounds.
That happens, but I don't think you can get yourself. I don't know. Doctors, hit us up. Let us know. Any dietitians out there? But anyway, I would like at some point to break it because I do feel that it is an addiction. Like. Something about the weakness and something about the fact that the craving is like a tad overwhelming where I'm like,
really?
I mean, not overwhelming, like I can't function.
Yeah.
But I'm like the one thing I want in the world, or like, I'm going to go get in my car and just go buy some candy.
You're like Dexter. It's like your dark passenger.
Yeah.
It's just like travels with you and you have to.
And I had a dad, but I didn't have a dad who specifically walked me how to handle
your sociopathic.
My sociopathic candy consumption. All right. So those were our breakfasts. And after our breakfasts, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in previous episode.
What is a Christian teetotaler's dad? What is the substitute for having your first beer with your dad when you're like 10 or 11?
I don't know. I mean, we just...
Or maybe even 21.
You stand next to each other in a urinal at a ball game.
No, but I think everyone does that, right? Yeah, no, you have that, and you have, like, sporting events, and, like, that's kind of fun. But I do not know, actually. I don't know if there is an actual parallel to the concept of first beer with dad.
That first beer with dad thing is, like, that's, like, the most present moment when it happens.
Yeah.
This is happening.
So, yeah, no, I've never had that. Wow. So I don't know what the parallel would
maybe
be.
Maybe the sociopathy is finally explained.
Yeah. Could be. So we just
you don't have no, that. It could have.
It could have
been moment.
It could have been one of those first Vanderbilt basketball games where he reached down and handed me the atomic fireball.
True.
And then wrapped them together.
Hey.
So maybe that was the.
Maybe you just unwrapped.
Maybe
that.
That's why you're an
you
alcoholic
fireball?
And I am a candy addict.
You got it.
We got it.
You got
to the bottom of it all.
You unpackaged it.
Oh, that's that's fantastic. Anyway. Breakfast in bed apologies. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'd like to apologize to anyone and everyone who watched the game 2.
Oh, so we're now talking basketball for the first time.
Christ on the cross. That was untoward.
It was
an untoward performance by the Cavaliers.
Grotesque.
That was a gangbang.
It was messy and gross, and I liked it because I decided I could watch Game of Thrones midway through the third.
Hey, guys.
Can we do Game of Thrones real quick? Why would you waste...
That is a spoiler. We're only one day removed. I like to give people at least a little longer.
John threw me under the bus at a cookout yesterday.
Well, you have a very stupid.
So
thing
I have
you
a
say.
I have a like a way of watching serialized television like that that effectively removes spoilers from your life, or at
not
least
at
they're
all.
At least the weight of the spoiler. So this is how I do it. You watch a season a year behind everybody else. There's never these constant Facebook feeds showing you all this information that may be currently ruining your next 2 hours. Everything that pops up, you hear, it may process and forget. And with a show like Game of Thrones, if you hear somebody dies, you go, who cares? Everyone dies on that show.
Right.
So it's not like a surprise, like if
okay,
Sam
what if
Malone died on Cheers. It's a different kind of
the
thing.
The killer is blank. And I unload
See,
that on
I
you.
Don't
it just
ever,
doesn't work.
I don't ever forget spoilers. Your plan wouldn't work with me.
Yeah, what if I tell you Jon Snow's mother is blank?
Yeah, yeah.
But then
it ruins the whole show.
No, that would work because you would because the only proper name of it, I only know like three of the actual names
you know
of the people
Snow,
on Game
though.
Yeah, but I know Jon Snow. That's about Sansa Stark. That's about it.
But Jon Snow's mother is a Targaryen, and you know what that means. And I just ruined the show for everyone.
Closely.
You're gonna have to bleep that.
But anyway, so like I'm so like
we don't actually know that.
No, I know I'm a huge spoiler type person. So like
yeah.
Like, I can't handle spoilers. I don't watch, I don't ever watch the coming up next. I don't ever watch the on next week. I don't want to know anything about movies. Like, if there's a movie. But,
previews and coming up next are garbage.
Right. So, like, I don't like it. So, like, I think Veep might be the best show on TV. I haven't even started this season because I have to watch Game of Thrones because that will be ruined, like, the night of. Like,
See,
anything interesting that happens
thing.
Will
gotta,
be ruined.
You got to distance yourself from the moment, man. You got to get away from the zeitgeist and just, it's like a book coming out a year later. Who cares? You read it later.
I'm telling you, but like
I don't know.
A show like Game of Thrones is all about the surprises and the jumps of like, or the impact of kind of where it's going. Without that, I mean, you're not watching it for like the dialogue.
Here's the thing. For sure, last episode, watching live. Not gonna mess around.
Right,
I'll catch up before. But, it, you know, when you know the season's going a couple years, you can just, like, lag a little behind. I know I'm different and weird, but that's the way I get down.
I like it. That's good. Do you have an apology, Chuck?
Yeah. City of Cleveland, sorry for the awful franchise that has been bestowed upon you in the basketball world, and also baseball world, and also football world, and also whatever world, city street world, public utilities, roads and bridges, all of everything in Cleveland is awful.
Median home price.
Yeah, average wage, owners who do predatory loaning.
Predatory loan owners.
Yeah, so all these things are awful for you, City of Cleveland. You all should move at once. The whole city. All the population of Cleveland, just go on, move. Cross, maybe go to Cincinnati. That's a great city. Akron, it's right down the road, and y'all can live at LeBron's house. There's like probably enough of you to live there. So, yeah, sorry, City
I don't want to be that guy, but... You guys did not apologize for anything.
No, I'm not apologizing ever. I never apologize.
I know, Chuck. This is your gloating Heat fan moment.
I am not here for analysis. I am here merely to gloat.
Yeah. So you are just enjoying the Cavs currently on fire.
The Hindenbron.
Yeah.
He's eating the curds of whey of being a Miami Heat orphan.
Mm-hmm. I was going to apologize.
You made errors.
For making factual errors.
Well, this is why we're a well-rounded podcast. Because you care about facts and I care about high-stepping into the end zone like Dion.
Prime time.
I misspoke. Depending on which version of the audio you heard, I misspoke and said that LeBron had made 7 straight finals. And I knew it was wrong. And so I decided I should probably try to fix it.
It's okay.
So I incorrectly fixed it by not proofreading my work. Left in some jumbled audio that some of you heard. And then also in the game of in the iShop award, I briefly forgot that Andre Robertson's first name was Andre. I just went with the Robertson. Felt like a dummy.
Fine.
So I apologize.
Ronnie Robertson, he played guitar in a band.
Exactly. All right.
An excellent music group.
So those were our breakfast in bed apologies, and some of them mainly, I guess mine was an apology for a mistake. You guys are just mainly skating by on your looks.
Mine's a gag.
It's a gag.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we're going to do our steak and eggs, right?
It is. Before we do our steak and eggs, we have some Fan Essentials boxes to give away. Fan Essentials has been a sponsor of this show. They are a subscription service for NBA fans. You can get gear for any of your teams. You go to fanessentials.net. You enter the code FBBF, and you get 30% off your order. They have boxes starting at $14.99. But we were giving away a couple, and we are giving away boxes to Kevin Salkowski.
Ooh, Kevin got him.
And Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
I think I can figure out how to... I think at least one of you follows us on Twitter, and maybe this other one is your Twitter handle. I will figure out a way to get in contact with you guys.
Shout out, homies, with the free Fan Essentials.
So getting your Fan Essentials. So the rest of you guys go to fanessentials.net and get all the essentials you need. All right, guys. Steak and eggs, best thing.
Before I was so rudely interrupted in the midst of my segue...
Yes, John.
I was going to tie it all back together by saying the best thing for me this week, I did not watch Game 2.
Oh, you didn't even see it.
I followed along as I figured that Warriors minus 6.5 was free money, as it were.
Dude.
By the way, Warriors minus 1.
Tomorrow?
This next game, gentlemen. Wow.
That's not
go see your man.
Go see your guy. Talk to Pickle.
We don't think that Kyrie and Love are going to show up at home and hit some shots. Love might not even play.
Love's concussed.
Kevin,
yes. Kyrie's,
Kevin's brain I would scrambled. Rather,
from what I gather, they're better off playing Dellavedova. I did watch the I watched the
25 minute
which I love. But I was I had to attend a birthday party and because I was cooking the whole time. That was my gift to the bride or
well, it is
whatever.
Sad we've
my
hit
friend's
the,
wife.
It is sad we've hit the I point of this it. Season. I mean, kudos to Kevin Love for making it this far before getting hurt.
He kind of
doesn't normally finish the year.
You know what this is? It's like, you remember in JV, if you were on either side of a lopsided victory, right?
Is this a movie or real life?
No.
Junior varsity.
Like actual junior varsity?
Junior varsity. Okay. When you're playing football in high school as a freshman, and one team was getting smacked.
Gotcha.
And the other team was seriously just giving up, and like all their players were just dropping left and right. They would just have injuries. That's what this is. His concussion, quote unquote, hand quotes. It's all psychosomatic. His brain hurts because his heart hurts. Because
he can't switch.
Because he can't. He's played.
Kevin Love actually played
defense.
Fine. Like he has played adequately.
He had 5
so
points
far
in the last game.
Well, he got knocked out in the first half.
He didn't look too good, though.
I mean, he wasn't overwhelming. I'm just saying. Right. I don't think so far you can't lay anything at the feet of Kevin Love.
I think you can lay it at Kyrie, but let me
sure. Oh, absolutely.
Something else.
Yes, go ahead.
Just a bit of in-house business. Everyone should be very proud of Chuck because Chuck was at the same party, and Chuck went. It was one of those parties where, like, because it was the wife's birthday,
right?
She controlled the television,
of course.
And instead of putting on the finals, they put on like reruns of Parks and Rec, and Chuck ate the food and said, "I'm out of here. I'm gonna
love
go, I'm
Parks
gonna,
and Rec.
I'm gonna go watch the game."
Right,
and Leslie Knope and me are tight.
Sort of watching on my phone, but couldn't really.
Oh yeah,
I was doing one of those. YouTube
I know way more Parks and Rec characters than Game of Thrones characters. I can't remember the Game of Thrones characters' names
because you can just throw out a name like Mark or Gary or Ron, and you'll have nailed it.
Yeah,
it's not called like Fart Gary Storm Braun.
Yeah,
like it's just easier. Just way, way easier.
Ron of the Swanson.
My best thing, actually, is kind of during Game 2, J.R. Smith launched a Kickstarter.
Holla.
Just kind of out of the blue.
So, I mean, what's up? Honestly, I'm not really feeling it, man. No disrespect.
Hey, I'm going to be checking you out now.
What's up? Come on, Cash Cow.
Oh, I think he come around. Oh.
J.R. Smith has a Kickstarter for a reality show that he wants $450,000.
Damn, son!
Dad, that sounded like a soundboard thing. That was just Chuck.
come on!
He wants $450,000 to have his reality show, a scripted reality show, which I'm not totally sure what that is.
All reality shows are scripted.
Right, okay.
Yeah, every single reality show requires writers. They don't just film humans. That would be a waste of time.
Even Breaking Bad?
Yeah, even Breaking
Holy
Bad.
Holy no!
Yeah, they planted that Walt Whitman book. But toilet.
That moment.
Spoiler. But this J.R. Smith reality series is just letting you know about the real J.R.
Let's get this straight. You grew up in the inner city, product of a broken home.
Nah, I had both my parents. I'm from the suburbs of Jersey, actually.
The plumber.
As of this point, there are 14 backers, and they have pledged $400.
Yeah,
of their $450,000 amount, but there's still a couple months to go.
You think JR would pad it just so it would look like it had momentum, you know?
I think this is such a poorly done,
it's almost a joke.
The Kickstarter video is like expensively done, but terribly done.
Right.
Like it doesn't, the video doesn't convey any sense of story or any direction or momentum, as you say. Like, and again, I don't think they thought through like, oh, let's ghost back this with a handful of people to get some.
Not like a Hype Williams video.
Yeah. Right? So that was my best thing because that's the most J.R. Smith thing ever.
Love it.
Very funny.
You know what my best thing is?
What is it, Chuck?
I got a number for you guys.
What is it?
48. You know what that is? The total number of points that the Warriors have beaten the Cavaliers by in the first two games of the NBA Finals.
Ooh-wee.
That's really high.
That is the most and highest, largest point differential. I used a bunch of words to say big point differential. No one has ever beat a team through two games in the NBA Finals as badly as the Warriors have stomped on the Cavaliers, baby. I called it. I called for Love and Kyrie to get blasted and then pick and rolls. And for the super hot fire breaking records for three-point shots in playoff games, all that just
they're not even
ice cold. They are north of the wall right now to hit the Game of Thrones. Thrones references, and they are stuck, dude. They have nothing. The White Walkers are coming.
Hey, Chuck.
And they're getting tore apart.
The White Walkers? All just a dream.
Used to read Word Up magazine. I love Biggie Smalls, baby.
Check it out in a year. See if you remember that.
I won't.
It's
a personal problem. It's not a strategy that works.
No, it's all good.
That's great. So you don't.
Killing your mind.
You don't give them any credit for being able to rally the troops at home on Wednesday night.
I give them a 0% chance to not have a breakout Steph Curry and Klay Thompson game.
Zero.
So they okay.
So one of them's
going
to hit.
Wait, yeah. So they're going to have a big game from Klay or Steph. One of those two players going off guarantees almost a Golden State
victory.
Well,
that's the funny.
They've been playing like crap and they still win.
They've done nothing.
Yeah,
like they've played fine. They played poorly.
Less than 20 points.
Steph and Klay were shooting very poorly in the game one. Mm-hmm. Game two, they weren't really even needed.
Right.
The game got loopy.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Of like they finally pulled LeBron in the second half, and it was like watching the Grizzlies get run off the court.
I mean, it almost seemed like a very specifically clumsy bunch of people. From the Cleveland side of the ball, their coordination seemed off. It almost seemed like they were poisoned in their heads.
We had talked about how when the Warriors, coming from the Thunder series, were going to show up in Cleveland or show up against Cleveland and feel like, oh, everything's open,
right?
Like coming from having such an incredible series where the Thunder kind of blew it. And like they escaped miraculously and were playing a team that was really on fire, that was really locked in, was playing great D and had some of the best players in the world, to going to Cleveland, which has LeBron and some other good guys, but they do not defend like that. And they do not have the defenders. It was going to be for the Warriors. It was going to be like, oh, this is a little easier. And for LeBron, it was like, he now actually has to face defenders. Like Iguodala is killing
blanking.
Him.
That's why he got the MVP last year.
Klay Thompson is playing awesome. Like when he gets switched on to LeBron,
he's almost like the way Danny Green was taking care of him. He's very pesky with his hands going to the rim. He can get those balls when LeBron's being sloppy with it, which he tends to be when he's trying to be a hero. So yeah, it works out. They can switch and they can put Dre on him. They can have a few players that can bother him a little, especially when, you know, he hasn't really played minutes because the first game he did, but the second game he's sitting on the bench most of the fourth.
Yep. You know,
it's gross.
So those were our best sort of spread out.
Yeah.
Opposite of that, what is our worst of week? Our cream of wheat, worst of week. Chuck, what do you got?
Worst thing, Tim Reynolds on Twitter said something. There's only one guy in the last four decades who successfully carried a team back from 0-2 down in the finals. You know what his name is?
D-Wayne Wade. I knew that one.
Hey, LeBron, guess what? You effed up, bro. You effed up. You left a winner. You left a winner. You'd have a closer on your side right now, somebody who would have played very well next to you this year. He was in great shape. He looked great, that D Wade, even carrying a larger load than he had.
At times.
but yeah, with less, you know, I think, yeah, wait, did I not laugh at LeBron yet?
You're still glowing. Yeah. You could, during our rabble that we did during game one, we gave Chuck a limit to only be able to be a scorned Heat fan for 1 minute per quarter.
Okay.
We did not give any limits on him for this podcast. So Chuck is in full gloat, full glory. It was a tough year, tough couple years since LeBron left him, but he's now having his fun.
Coach GM LeBron James.
Coach GM LeBron. He's once again, not happy with the roster he has assembled.
Right.
My worst thing actually is not related to the finals. My worst thing is to the Zika virus.
Oh, geez.
That is wrecking the South America.
Yeah.
And not to compare basketball to the real life horror of microcephaly or whatever it is, the thing that it causes.
Global disease. Pandemic.
However, Steph Curry has pulled out of the Olympic squad. So he's not going to go to Rio.
Smart move.
Because of Zika.
I think maybe it's because he's played in a lot of playoff games and going into finals.
That could be true, but I had a dream of watching that Steph, Klay Thompson, LeBron, Durant, and like Draymond or Anthony Davis.
Or the White Walkers
there. Like that five-man roster. I just want to see play basketball. I wanted to see that just go off.
I know.
All together. And so now we're not going to see it because of a pandemic.
Man, you know what? Who cares about freaking Rio? Who cares about the Olympics? I'm going to pretend to when it comes on because it makes for
I am very much
good day drinking.
People who know me, very anti-Olympic.
Are you?
The entire Olympic Games, I think, are ridiculous.
See, I'm with it because
I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised Chuck likes it because of the
I like the boxing. I like the track and
those
field.
Athletes are taken advantage of, much like the NCAA.
I mean, Summer Olympics, I won't get angry about them. I'm just not interested. Winter Olympics, I will get angry.
Right.
Because it is just a ridiculous parade of made-up sports.
Mm.
Made-up individual feats, just that the privileged do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, synchronized swimming. Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Any sport that relies on a judge to assign points, I'm not.
Really? Not for me. You don't like subjective.
I don't need that. But say, that's my, not my thing.
I get it.
I'm a team sport man. John, you got a worst of week this week?
I mean, we haven't really talked about Kyrie yet.
Hey, Kyrie.
I think that's fair. Kyrie, hello. This is Fast Break Breakfast. We're going to talk about you. We're adding you right now.
You could also put Kevin Love in this mix. I know he hasn't played as poorly or as demonstrably poorly, but for all the deserved blame that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, who've demonstrably played even worse in the playoffs than they have during the regular season, how does Tyronn Lue have gone through this entire season without hearing about the lineup of doom and death? How?
I think
he was wholly unprepared.
My reaction is he came up with the worst plan ever. I think he was prepared, and he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to out-death him. We're going to outrun him. We're going to outshoot him. We're going to outpace him.
Yeah,
and then it's like, whoops,
sorry.
Like that's the worst idea ever.
I love that. Like his solution is to play a style that leads to Golden State having those 4-on-3s constantly?
Yeah.
It's continuous fast breaking and scramble and very bad scramble defense. And like very awful, bad transition.
If there
defense.
Is a team that is most deadly on a 4-on-3 with their passing, it's Golden State. Like that's where they thrive.
For sure. What's great to me is there's one person who we're forgetting to talk about, and it's Dan Gilbert, huh? The man, the crap fest.
For me, he's
human.
The only bad guy in this. I mean, I know you hate LeBron, Chuck, but for me, he's the only bad guy in this whole Cavaliers
franchise. We just talked about a guy who asked, a millionaire who asked for $450,000 for a Kickstarter for a reality show, and there's only one bad guy?
That's hilarious. He will not get his $450,000.
I know.
And it's just hilarious
to me. The gall of asking for it.
Love it.
Hate it.
Man on top.
Way worse. LeBron obviously gets his steak cut for him by valets.
Correct.
By eunuchs. Littlefinger provides him with women. We should just do one Game of Thrones basketball episode where
we're doing it.
I have a Game of Scones.
I have one too.
Uh-oh. Ooh, battling. Maybe your Game of Scones.
I always defer to Keith.
Yeah. Man, he always has a better GOS. Game of Scones. Hey,
he's
guys.
He's got a better GOS WAR.
Yeah. Wins over.
So I think, Lou, one of the things is that it seems like the Cavs have their own small ball lineup that was doing great. And the problem was, we don't think it's going to match up with any of the things the Warriors can do. And they seem to have gone away from it immediately. They haven't been playing Channing Frye at all.
Bizarre. They're like,
they've given him like 3 or 4 minutes every game, right. And it's gone fine. Like I think he gave up a dunk at one time, and he gave up, like, I think he got scored on maybe in both games in like kind of easy fashion, but he stretches the court and did fine. Like there was nothing wrong with it to take it away immediately.
At the beginning of the series, we thought the Cavs' only chance was to beat the Dubs at their own game.
Yeah.
Which was to go small and to shoot the three ball.
Score. Well, that's clearly what Lou thought.
But he hasn't gone small. Like their good small lineup involves Channing Frye.
Well, they've gone small, but they've gone small without using Channing Frye.
Right. They've gone, like, we thought they would throw up their lineup that's been killing people, and they haven't. Instead, they've eschewed Channing Frye incredulously for players that I really didn't think would be getting this kind of minutes.
I mean, we're not saying Channing Frye is the answer, because it seems like there might not be an answer.
Right.
I mean, hope you think again the home court that things will turn around for the Cavs somewhat, and it'll be a close game, and maybe Kyrie will go off. But Kyrie is so bad on defense, and his offense isn't really hitting it. Like, he's not hitting his shot. He's not hitting his threes.
Right.
We've talked about so many times how players will turn up their defense in the playoffs.
Yep.
Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving's defensive rating is far worse, 10 whole points worse than their regular season.
Yeah. They're playing like worse defense.
That's amazing.
Again, I feel like what I've seen from Love so far, it hasn't bothered me at all. Like, I think Shumpert is totally nothing, like, shouldn't play at all. Like, Richard Jefferson is weirdly, like, the second best player. I don't know how that's possible.
Well, I mean,
he's doing fine, but...
Yeah, this all goes back to how right I was in earlier episodes where I said that this team, when we watched them last year against the Warriors in the finals, we said, okay, LeBron has this... this, you know, zombie squad that we called that he was dragging along to 6 games in the finals.
Right.
And I said, maybe that's the better team for LeBron against this Warriors squad because they could go with more Mozgov, more Tristan Thompson, and more Dellavedova. Hope those guys have good offensive games because you know what you can get with them defensively instead of praying for the offensively gifted Love and Kyrie to put together a defensive performance that you know will never happen.
I think one thing I would like to see for someone who just is hoping for a competitive series, I would like to see more Dellavedova. Although he's not playing well,
right?
But he plays intelligently, and he's a decent defender,
right?
I feel like he's in that situation where if Kyrie was unavailable, if Kyrie was hurt, he would be playing better because there would be no pressure. They have to play me, so I'm going to be eat free and loose.
I
would like to see Dellavedova, and then. That front court, for me, I have to see Tristan Thompson, Channing Frye, and LeBron. I'm not sure who we put at the two in this scenario. J.R. Smith has been horrible planning his Kickstarter campaign and has not even shown up for these first two games.
Shumpert
is bad.
James Jones, baby, calling him off the bench. bring him in, baby. The three-point specialist.
I wonder if it's even if this
he got
team
minutes last year.
If this team could defend well enough to put like Richard Jefferson to have a weirdly small big.
I've been kind of baffled as LeBron
at the two.
Played,
you know? Well, Richard Jefferson has been one of the good players. Like he does and fine out there.
Somebody we haven't even talked about yet is Andrew Bogut, absolutely dominating the paint defensively and coming up with five blocks in under 20 minutes or something like that. Like the dude, he's altering shots and being kind of like, you know, the reason why all that stuff LeBron and J.R. Smith tried to do and Kyrie going to the rim doesn't work.
Let's talk about Matthew Dellavedova.
Yes.
Follow her.
Is he a terrible passer?
Yes.
Yes. Is he a dirty player?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Australian listeners.
Does he
answer his own
get the ball and dribble for 16 seconds at a time before heaving a mid-range shot? No!
Yeah, exactly. No.
He does not do that.
He does right. not do that no. at all.
Just through those questions, as bad as the first two may have been, I think he probably might be a better option.
I'm going to throw
the best player in the world.
I'm going to throw out a stat that this is not an exact stat because I don't have it on my fingertips, but it's something in the neighborhood of Kyrie Irving is 8 for 9 on assisted shots and on unassisted shots. I think it was like 5 for 22 or something. So,
right. I mean, come on, then. Play him at the two and play Dellavedova at the one.
Right. I mean, so that's the one thing. Dellavedova just knowing that the guys are better, then he has to get the better people the ball.
Right.
And he can actually chase Curry some.
It's a bit like hockey where you have to know your role sometimes.
Man, all sports are that way.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Yeah, you got to know your role.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm coming through with all the like soundbite sounds today.
You really are.
It just seems it like they're coming from.
What?
You're on fire. You need to make your own app.
I do.
You're like
Chuckboard.
You're like voice talent over here.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so as far as me being right about this and prescient and super, you know, wise.
Yeah.
I
very, very Joe Lacobian.
Right.
Lacobian?
Yeah, maybe.
That sounds dirty.
Lacobinian?
Lacobinian.
I'm going to go with Lacobian.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get back to the Jacobinians.
Yeah.
It's not too far removed in many, many ways.
Right.
No, I think.
Lacobite?
Can we bury the Caps? Are they done?
Well, yeah. I think they're done.
I do
done,
too.
Done.
I mean,
done.
I think they're going to win
a
game.
I put money I did not have on that minus one.
I mean, this is still a Warriors team we saw on the ropes.
Monroe money.
Should have lost to the Thunder. And this is a Cavs team which rolled. I think that, again, I think the East is going to be remembered as weaker than they actually were. I could be wrong there because the Cavs are embarrassing kind of their conference. Rudy Gobert tweeted out that this NBA Finals was, I think, sub-Western Conference second round or something to that effect.
I would much rather watch a hobbled Clippers and the Blazers play another series.
He wrote, Rudy Gobert tweeted, Western Conference second round was higher level basketball.
And Game 7, Warriors-Oklahoma, was the highest rated basketball game on cable ever.
Yeah.
So you're talking
about... It was amazing.
About,
and I imagine these may not touch it if you were able to somehow extrapolate the numbers.
Well, game one was incredibly highly watched, but the NBA is... The NBA even threw out their A-team referees for road teams. They threw out Scott Foster, Warrior Killer,
right. Yeah,
and Tony Brothers.
They still couldn't do it.
And then the Cavs got beat by 40.
The brow, yeah. Baby.
We've pretty much all merged our segments. So as we keep going in this Scattered, Smothered, Covered.
Yeah, we snuck into Scattered,
Smothered, We did. Covered. We haven't even mentioned the probably 1, 2, and 3 in the MVP vote. Draymond Green, Sean Livingston, and Leandro Barbosa.
Barbosa.
I said his first 10 shots
right
of the series.
Loving it.
Until missing a desperation air ball three. But, yeah.
The abuse that Livingston is levying out on Irving is terrifying.
His length and his...
It's humiliating.
Yeah, and his post-up game is a throwback. Is kind of no one in the NBA at that position, really, at the point guard... is doing any real back down body banging.
Yeah, it's
that
like
you saw Gary Payton do in the 90s.
You are,
like
I think, giving him too much credit for body banging. No one is touching him.
Right.
like I feel like LeBron, when he gets to that second unit, is losing track of players.
Right.
And I don't know if it's defensive scheme. One thing I kind of like LeBron, I guess, as far as the spectrum of NBA fans in the world, I'm kind of a LeBron liker. Like, I feel like I feel like I have to defend him sometimes when people are talking bad about him.
How could you?
But the one, I'm sorry, Chuck. Sorry to break this to you. But
no, he's great.
But the one thing that I do find troublesome about him is he is blaming all of his teammates for like him blowing defensive assignments and his guy like he'll guard a guy and then Livingston will back cut him or Andre Iguodala will be wide open at the goal and that was the man he was guarding and he's getting really angry about it. So, I mean, maybe some of it is that the defensive schemes are totally ineffective and terrible, but I don't like to see him, I don't know, complaining or blaming his teammates so much, but it is. I got off on... I don't want to deflect the credit, though, because Livingston is playing great. It's a great story, a great NBA story. And again, Barbosa was not in the league 2 years ago. He was signed off the street like a complete free agent.
Like, he was doing capoeira in San Paulo, Brazil.
Sao Paulo?
Favela. That
Brazilian bird?
That first thing Chuck said could also be a Brazilian city. I'd have to.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah,
no way to know that. No fact checker. But even as rough as LeBron, you know, I think his turnovers are way up because I think they're trying to play with pace and he's trying to force it and it's getting out of control. Also, as we mentioned earlier, this is the first time in the playoffs he's had someone like Iguodala or even Klay Thompson or Draymond Green who are just ripping the ball away every time he like they're collapsing on him and he's not getting the ball out well enough. However, last game in the first half, he had 14 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals.
He looked good.
And even in a, you know...
Well, they were in it in the first half.
Yeah, they were in it. But even in a kind of meh, like LeBron James game, only 8 players ever in NBA history have had 14.7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals in a game in the finals.
Right.
So, Chuck and John.
Oh, God.
This is your game of scones.
Can't wait to lose.
Look out. In the streak, Chuck.
You can in the streak, Chuck. So
I want you to beat me.
Since 1984, thanks to Basketball Reference.
BDSM.
Since 1984, only 8 players have had at least 14 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals in a finals game.
Get the whip.
LeBron James is one of them, as we already told you. There are only 7 left, so this is kind of difficult. When I say it's difficult, it's hard. However, none of these names are difficult. So there are no very obscure.
What's the line?
14 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 steals in one game. Chuck, would you like to go first or second? There's only 7 names.
Sure, go first.
Yep.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Michael Jordan did it one time. Just one time.
John Burr.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson did it one time.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade never did it.
Bullshit.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird did it 3 times. Yeah. Tie with LeBron for the most. That's one strike on Chuck.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry never did it.
Yeah, I was a...
Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen, one time. That's 2 strikes for Chuck. Yeah, I feel like he's going down.
This is a Hail Mary.
Okay.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Nope. Chuck is out.
That's a solid guess.
It is a solid guess.
I don't think I was off crazily, but with any of these.
No, they were good. I think they were good. They were good guesses. There are 3 more players. John, you want to get any more?
Clyde the Glad.
Not Clyde Drexler.
James Worthy.
There is one still in this series.
Oh, really?
Person active in this series.
Klay Thompson. Draymond Green.
Draymond Green. Just keep firing
you
him
cannot,
out.
You cannot... Okay.
Sorry, no. John has already won.
You already won,
John.
Dude.
John has already won.
This is How did I win? I didn't think I closed it out.
No, we're
not playing horse?
Well, he went 3 strikes to 0.
You're right.
So John Burr's the winner. The other 2 players, both... did it for the Boston Celtics 20 so years apart.
Oh, wow.
Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett.
No.
Ray Allen.
Assist.
Rondo.
Assist, that's the greatest.
Rondo.
Rondo, and then before him, Dennis Johnson.
DJ. There's a steal by DJ. By Bird. Pass the DJ.
It's all right. There you
go. Underneath him. Listen in.
All right. Yeah, that was a little game of scones for you.
All right, I'm just the worst at all these games, and I like it.
All right, and we are not going to do an iShop on purpose this week. There was some poor shooting, but none of it was iShop worthy. Again, Kyrie Irving, as we've talked about, and also another guy.
It dilutes the potency of what you've created.
Well, it dilutes. I have a certain standard.
Because we list them, at certain points.
Right, yeah.
We just have to change it for the playoffs, yeah. I feel.
I... I have a certain like a cutoff point for what I consider to be a Stackhouse of Pancakes level performance, and so we haven't really gotten him.
Right.
But one guy who's been flirting with it in game one and hasn't done much in game two from playing wise is the unanimous MVP of the league, Steph Curry.
Oh yeah.
What do we make of this Warriors team winning finals games? This is now for the second year where Steph isn't Steph doesn't really feel like the main catalyst. I don't know if that's fair. This year, yes. Last year, I did feel like actually Steph, even though he received no votes for the MVP, I did feel like he was the catalyst because it seemed last year they were collapsing on him to start all the offense. But this year, game one, he just was kind of invisible. Game two, he played a little bit. He played fine, but he wasn't needed because it was a blowout.
He is going to score 40 points, and they're going to destroy the Cavs.
That's a little fan fiction for Chuck.
That's what I'm doing. I'm writing Steph Curry as a Targaryen.
Yep. So I guess part
Steph Curry's Velvety Tip by Chuck
Baby-faced assassin.
So I guess my part fade away as we close the show. My part fade away is: are we going to see a Steph game? Or are we going to see a Klay Thompson game?
I think the odds are in our favor because I think we would like to see one. I mean, it just seems...
I mean, as a fan, we would love to. It's like, that's some of the best TV
you get.
If
we don't see one, then we won't see a sweep.
If we don't... I feel like if we don't see one and they win, like, in five games,
right.
It really... It's changed my opinion, where I guess in the regular season, I get so carried away with, like, is Steph the best player I've ever seen? Because I've never seen anyone do it with these numbers, the 30 points per game, the three-point shooting, the distance, like, the 26-foot shots, like, his percentage from over 27 feet, all that stuff. Like, we've never seen it before. But then I watch the finals, and I'm like, if LeBron and Steph were switched, yeah.
But
like,
then,
you know.
But then you go back to the Western Conference finals,
right,
when Steph wasn't playing well, and they were going to lose the series.
Yeah, until he finally seemed to wake up. Yeah, yeah. I know.
I mean, there's just a lot of... That's kind of one of the reasons, like, as a basketball fan, it's, like, super important not to live just in the moment.
Man, I just don't... I don't like to think with depth and nuance.
Understood.
Throws me off.
And look, the echo chamber that is the 24-hour sports
the Twitterati
cycle, yeah. the constant refreshing of the Twitter sphere makes you, yeah, kind of get turned into a creature of the moment. And, yeah, sometimes you need a weekly podcast from a bunch of bums in a baby dungeon
right.
to give you perspective, especially when Chuck is right all the time.
That is pretty good. So what do you guys, are you guys looking forward to anything special other than...
I'm looking forward to watching finals games with Chuck at Bonnaroo on a giant screen while he's tripping balls.
Mescaline, baby.
We can't get our own Bonnaroo tent. How many years away are we from that? Seven?
Oh, we're close, dude. Dude, we could definitely.
There won't even be a Bonnaroo in 7 years.
Who knows? It'll probably be downtown with CMA, a CMA Roo Bonnaroo mashup.
Oh.
It'll be
a reverse parfait away.
Reverse parfait away is it's Bonnaroo and CMA week in Nashville. Yeah. So if anyone wants to Airbnb my house, I could leave.
It's pretty great.
That'd,
it's like
that'd be fine.
All the stinky hipsters leave, and then all these country music tourists come in and they rent their bungalows above somebody's garage for $185 for a night. Really works out. The economy, so many people I know make money off of dumb tourists in Nashville, and it's amazing.
It's the life.
Hey, if you guys
come
to Nashville,
that's your new life.
About to be. No, I'm in it for the locals.
For them buns.
For them buns. Come get my buns at Real Dope Buns on Instagram and Twitter. That's me.
We gotta buy that Twitter handle.
Nah, dude.
Death from a bun cannot belong to some woman named Bunny.
But the fact that her name's Bunny makes it a great Twitter handle.
It does. And Real Dope Buns sounds good. It's easy to remember.
Mm. Also has that kind of a little drug wink wink for old Chuckster.
And also like a butt wink wink.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. So
it's
thanks.
Not the name of the business, wink wink.
So thanks you guys for listening. Season's almost over. If the Cavs don't show up, the season's going to be done on Friday.
Right.
Yeah, this may be the last podcast
we'll see what I,
of
but,
the year.
But we keep rolling. We got draft coming. We got summer league free agency. Whiteside going to go to Portland, Chuck.
Can't have that happen. KD's coming to Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat Riley's dropping a bag of rings on a table at a restaurant in South Beach.
You know, I saw, I think it was, I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was like LeBron late Sunday night. It was like 3 a.m. Texted Pat Riley. It's like, You up?
What's up, girl?
Yeah, so thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook. Write us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps us out, gets us more listeners, raises us in search results. Go to fanessentials.net. Use the code FBBF. Follow us on rabble.tv and create your own rabbles there so we can not have to listen to the horrible, misanthropic, complain-filled, and joyless broadcasts. Who in the world likes the Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy color commentary? It's like punch yourself in the face type. I don't know.
Sylvia Plath? I don't know.
Yeah. put your head in the oven and listen to Jeff Van Gundy complain about more stuff. All right. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
This right here?
Yeah.
J.R. Chris. Team Swiss Shoe Store.
Yeah, you see these other golf clubs from the first?
Those your clubs? I was like, yeah, they're GR's pops.
I hit the ball really far.
Don't laugh.
50 feet?